Hello, everybody. My name is Kenton DeYoung, and I'm sitting here with my co-host, Dylan Fairman.
Hello.
And this is Unsolved Canadian Mysteries.
Wow.
So, Dylan, before we get started, how are you doing?
I'm good. I'm doing well. Drinking a lot.
Just enjoying the nice cold winter we're having?
Yep. Yeah. The only way I can get through it, with the power and love of alcohol. How about you, Kenton?
I'm doing good.
That's good.
I'm doing good. I'm a little sick of the cold, but I know we're halfway through February. A little more than halfway, which means soon it'll be March, and then April, and then we're in the clear.
My birthday's coming up.
For 6 months. When's your birthday?
March 8th.
Oh, it is coming up. Look at that.
I'm gonna be a big boy.
Are you gonna be 30?
No. I'm gonna be 28.
Oh, I just turned 30. Like, yeah, a couple.
Remember, I wasn't alive during the Martinsville horror.
Yes.
Nightmare, I mean.
Yes, that's right. Yes, this one's a little more tame this week. This
is it?
Episode, yeah.
More tame.
Two housekeeping tips we should talk about.
Yeah.
First, our podcast finally hit 1,000 plays, which is huge.
That is huge.
For like five.
Didn't you just say like 600 a little? Like,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So thanks everyone for supporting us and listening. We just cracked 1,000, I think, last night, today.
No doubt. That's crazy.
Yeah. For only five episodes. And the second is that we were mentioned on a podcast called Just Two Camera Guys.
Oh, yeah. You were saying that. Yes. Yeah.
They were talking to me about my blog and other stuff that I do, but they mentioned the podcast, too. And I was like, oh, I didn't expect him to do that, because I did that, like, in the outro. Tell them to check out our podcast. And I was like, oh, I didn't tell them to say that.
That's right. I do a podcast.
I thought I didn't want to mention more of it if I knew they were going to talk about it. So, well, thanks, Just Two Camera Guys, for mentioning us.
Yes, and go check them out, because they're Just Two Camera Guys. What do they talk about normally?
Cameras. Photography.
There you go.
It's cool, because they do a lot of like similar stuff that I do, like abandoned houses around Saskatchewan, that kind of thing. And I saw one of the guys posted up on Instagram today, a bunch of like lichen in the cemetery on some headstones.
Yeah.
And that's my jam, right?
That's your jam.
So
that's
like,
your bread and butter.
Cool. Awesome. So check them out. They're also on Spotify and YouTube and same places we are, but different channels. So that's kind of the two big things I want to talk about before we get started. Tonight, we are talking about an event, because I promised we would, that occurred in Regina. Sticking to that, and also make sure you are alive during this one.
Wow, so, double whammy.
Yes, I fulfilled both promises.
I was here and here.
So this one occurred in 2004. It's a missing persons case.
Okay.
Do you already know who it is?
Probably not. I don't really, like, as soon as you say it, maybe, but.
It's Tamara Keepness.
Okay.
Are you at all familiar with her disappearance and her case?
No, probably not.
Okay, that's all right. We'll talk all about it.
But we're going to talk about it?
Yeah, we're talking about the disappearance of Tamara Keepness.
Oh, mysteries.
And I always want to say Tamara, but it's not Tamara, it's Tamara.
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 Like camera.
Yeah, well, that's a good way to remember it, yeah. I will get it right because of that. Thank you. So the event begins, the disappearance occurred on July the 7th, 2004. But it's important to talk about the lead up to it, July the 3rd, 2004. What happened and what's the circumstances around the situation.
Okay.
So to begin with, Tamara is 9 years old. She has a twin sister, Tanis.
Okay.
In total, there are 6 children in this family. The mother, I think it's Lorena, she has had 3 different boyfriends. Each has given birth to 2 different daughters.
And they're all girls?
No, I'm sorry. I misspoke.
Okay.
I think one is a boy.
Okay. Well, still.
Yeah. It's a lot of...
Yeah.
A lot of young ladies. And the youngest, I believe, is 9 months old. So, you know, it's between 9 years or 10 years and 9 months. So around there. So Lorena is living in this small house with Dean MacArthur, her boyfriend, and Russell Sheepskin, a friend of the family.
Okay.
Russell kind of lives in the basement, kind of keeps himself, but he's there too. Okay.
Probably plays a lot of Xbox.
In 2004, you bet he did. Yeah, a lot of Halo.
A lot of Halo.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I did. In my basement, yeah.
I was probably playing N64 at that point. Maybe GameCube. Was GameCube out?
I think 2004 is around the time, yeah.
Yeah.
Before we talk about the family too much, we should talk about the area of the city. So we're from Regina. We know that Ottawa Street is not in a good neighborhood. It's kind of in the north central part of the city.
Ottawa Street's a very big street, Kenton.
Okay, I'm sorry. It's in the north central part of Regina.
So, 800 block.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go.
This is about the same time I want to say that McLean spit out that article saying how North Central Regina is the worst neighborhood in Canada. If you remember that 2007 bombshell.
Yes, I do remember that actually.
Yeah, that was wild.
Fuck.
We were in the press all across the country.
We are famous.
Everyone talked about Regina then. Not for good reason, but that's okay. So at this time, this is where Tamara and her family is living. So this neighborhood is a really rough neighborhood of the city.
Mm.
One of the worst kind of in the country. And to give some examples of what the neighborhood system is like, there were disappearances in this neighborhood of people in 1983, 1984, 1993, 1995, and 2004. It has a lot of disappearances. People being disappearing, or people being assaulted, sexually assaulted, murdered, raped, that kind of thing.
Experience Regina.
There was quite a few serial rapists that were in this area too, and some pedophiles. So it's just a great area of town.
Great neighborhood.
That's kind of the setting, the backdrop of this. A few months before Tamara went missing, there was a violent sexual assault and kidnapping in the area. So this is fresh coming out of that, okay? So back to this house with Tamara and her family and everybody else, Lorena. So there was an argument between Lorena and MacArthur the night. This would be Monday evening. They got in a fight, and MacArthur and his friend, the guy in the basement, Sheepskin, decided to go to the bar. The argument, they said it was heated. He left and they went to go to the bar Monday night, right? But then they came back. They left around 8:30. They came back around 11 o'clock. With some milk for the kids.
Nice of them.
Yeah, you know, the whole story, you know, it's tough, but that it was a really nice gesture. Like, hey, we went to the bar, we came back with some 4 minutes of milk, we're going back to the bar now.
Hmm.
Like, it's a very nice, not a Father of the Year award, but you know, it's, and this is before, like, when you could text someone, really. Like, hey, while you're out there, can you pick up some milk? Like, he knew to go and get it and come back, which is good. Responsible, you know? As they were at the bar, Lorena decided around 11 o'clock she was going to go out too. She left her 9-year-old, 10-year-old, I think it was, in charge. Did I write that down? Summer. Summer was 10 years old. So Summer was 10 years old, and she was responsible to take care of the other 5 kids while Lorena was gone.
Okay.
But it's 11 o'clock at night on a Monday. The kids are going to go to bed. The kids are already asleep, except for Summer. So Lorena goes to her friend's house. They go get liquor from the liquor store, and they drink and just have a little time at the friend's house, okay? Lorena would then check up on the kids around midnight. Everything is fine. And they go back and they drink some more and just have a good time. All right, so all the adults are gone. The house is full of 6 kids, the oldest being 10. Now, it's important to remember that Lorena, when she left home many years ago, she was 14. When she was on her own in the world, she was 14 years old. So there is a bit of a connection there, maybe with age, that Summer is almost 14, can almost do this by herself.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't leave a 10-year-old alone with 6 or 5 other kids.
Mm.
So,
yeah. Yeah, like maybe by herself.
Yeah.
But not to watch.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's. But what do I know?
So around 3 in the morning, Sheepskin comes back from the bar without MacArthur, comes back to the bar and finds Tamara sleeping on the couch in the living room.
Mm-hmm.
Not long later, MacArthur shows up too, and the two of them get in an argument. Well, we don't know what about. They have said this is not regarding the events that would unfold regarding Tamara.
Okay.
I think I called her Tamara, but Tamara. I have to work on this.
Tamara.
So they say that whatever argument they got into on the porch was not regarding to her disappearance.
All right.
But apparently, I want to get those right, that I think it was, so MacArthur would smash Sheepskin's face into a window and then would stomp his head, and then they would go their own separate ways. Sheepskin would go to the hospital, and MacArthur would go to his aunt's house.
Okay, I see. I thought you were saying, I'm like, okay, well, I'll see you tomorrow. Yeah, bye. But, okay, yeah,
One went to the hospital, and one just went back home to go drink and sleep. So, MacArthur's aunt, he was going to, she only lives a few blocks away, and it's 3 o'clock in the morning, right? And this is part of the story that's a little bit suspicious. So, MacArthur leaves the house at 3 in the morning. Goes, let's say, 2 or 3 blocks to get to the aunt's house. Doesn't get there till 5:30.
Hmm.
His reasoning is he was drunk and lost and confused and kept blacking out, passing out on the way there. So it took him 2.5 hours to get about 3 blocks.
Sorry.
That's a little suspicious, right?
Yeah. Or funny.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah,
we'll see how the story...
In one story, because he has to tell the story a few times to the police, right? And one story is says that he locks the doors before he leaves. And the original story says he does not lock the doors before he leaves. They have this fight around 3 o'clock in the morning, and they leave. Lorena, the mom, comes back home around 3:15, 3:30 in the morning, and she finds the door locked. So she has to crawl through the window to get into the house.
Mm.
And she says when she gets there, she sees Tanis and Summer sleeping on the couch, and the couch is in there, but not Tamara. Russell Sheepskin saw Tamara there earlier.
A drunk man.
Yeah, about 15, half an hour to 15 minutes earlier.
And he also, this is all after him getting his face smashed in too.
He saw her first and then got his face smashed in.
So? I assume if you get smashed in, a little information before you get smashed in is probably gonna...
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry.
It's true. He wasn't the most coherent anyway, and then he was horribly assaulted and went to the hospital.
Right.
Other things on his mind, and he was sleeping on the couch, right?
Okay.
So Lorena comes in, crawls to the window, she falls on the seat on the couch. I'm assuming the same couch that Tamara was last seen on. So then, because they had to interview the kids following her disappearance, one of them, Rain, the boy, says that upstairs they have the mattresses on the floor, and he was sleeping between the mattress and the door. He felt the mattress moved as Tamara got up, and he said that it was light outside. So me, being the detective I am, decided to look up what time does the sun rise on July 7, 2004.
Very detective-like.
Right? And it comes up about 4:45, 5 o'clock in the morning.
Okay.
So there would have been some light in there about the first, like, 4 o'clock to 5 o'clock before the sun comes up. Right?
Yeah.
So Rain felt Tamara get out of bed around 4 o'clock in the morning, which doesn't fit with the story of Sheepskin of her being on the couch at 3, but the fact she still got out of bed when nobody was... around, right?
Mm.
And that's the last anyone saw of her. So the next day, Lorena gets up. She has to unlock the door so that Grandma can come over. And they start making breakfast for the kids. And they notice that Tamara didn't come downstairs. So then they go and check it out. She's not there. No one's seen her. And they call the cops. And this is where the investigation kind of happens.
All right.
So it's kind of laid out where everybody is, the places, the pieces, right? And this girl, has disappeared.
We didn't have an Amber Alert thing back then either, right? On the phones?
But that is a good point. And actually, I didn't put it in my notes, but we should talk about that. So we didn't have the system we have now, where if there's a kid's missing anywhere, we all get alerted and told to watch out for it. That didn't exist. They had an Amber Alert system. They were rolling it out. But they didn't determine that this was Amber Alert
worthy.
Yeah, at the time. And the reason is because, I don't know if it's 53 or 35, one second. In the 13 years with this family, with the Cuteness family, the police have been called to the house 53 times.
Ah.
So, a kid's disappeared. Is it worth an Amber Alert, right? Yeah, obviously. But it's like, this has happened so many times, so many situations with this family. Is it worth doing this giant lookout for this child, right?
Boy who cried wolf kind of thing.
Exactly. Especially 53 times when in only 13 years. That's a lot.
That is a lot.
Poop. So, the police interviewed Lorena and MacArthur, discussing who may have taken the kids, what might have happened. And, of course, the events that unfolded the night before, and they gave them a list of 5 names. Of course, we don't have those 5 names, right? The police do. But they also mentioned that Tamara has made a new friend recently, a man in the neighborhood who is a pedophile.
Oh.
So suddenly this person has become a person of interest.
Right.
But the police report I read, well, it's the article, said that they interviewed all the pedophiles in the neighborhood and no one had seen her, no one had her, right? Including this individual. But I also was reading that back in 76, a similar situation happened, I think, in Calgary, where this girl went missing. They asked everybody. No, she wasn't there. She was in the basement instead for 6 right. months.
Can they legally just start searching because of the record?
I don't know.
Past record? No.
Normally, I'd say no, right? Because you need a warrant to search. But maybe in this case, because they're a registered pedophile and there's a child missing.
Well, you think that makes sense. Like, if you're a registered pedophile, like, it's just like, look... We got to check your house.
Yeah, yeah.
You're on the list.
I don't know if that's... I could see why, but I could see why it's not. So I don't know to answer the question. But either way, none of them apparently had seen her or been anywhere around that area of the city at night. So the police chief said at the time, and has still kind of kept with this, said, there were comings and goings from the house that night that remained not fully explained to our satisfaction, and we continue to ask those questions. One of those is, what took MacArthur 2.5 hours to get
three
blocks.
Right.
One of them was, why was nobody home? Right.
Right.
A lot of people were drunk. A lot of people weren't coherent. Why was no one around?
Mm-hmm.
if the door was unlocked, then why was it locked 30 minutes later? Mm. Why didn't the mother of the house have key to the door?
Okay. Yeah. Okay. There's more to this when you start putting everything. Yeah, that's nuts.
Because I've had a key to my house since I was like 10 years old.
Right.
Why doesn't the mother of the house have a key? If she was the last to leave, she should have locked it before she left.
Mm. I don't know, man. I've rented out to people that didn't have their key.
That's true. It's true. I once actually, it was a cold winter night, and I lived in this apartment downtown, and I took out the garbage.
Yeah.
The door closed behind me.
Yeah.
And I didn't have my key.
Yeah.
So, like, I had to call my mom.
Yeah.
And she had to come drive all the way down to downtown with the key to let me in. Yeah. Happens.
It happens.
So the police began this massive investigation. It's one of the largest we've ever had, looking for this little girl, searching houses, searching properties, looking for anything to have. And there's not a whole lot of come out of it, right? She's kind of just disappeared.
Mm.
Now, the only kind of thing that they talked about in the family afterwards that's worth mentioning was that a few weeks after her disappearance, a MacArthur, who got in a fight with a sheepskin that night, I believe MacArthur was the father of her, he came to their house with a baseball bat, threatening Sheepskin, saying, "What happened to my daughter?"
Mm.
And he didn't know. And he said, "I don't know. Nothing's happened. I know nothing." He says, "There's a confrontation that MacArthur believed Sheepskin had done something."
Mm.
But there was no evidence to support this.
Like out of retaliation or something like that?
Yeah. Like, "I think you took my daughter." It's like, "No, I didn't."
Mm.
Which makes sense because they fought that night.
Right.
And the one guy took 2.5 hours to get somewhere. What if Sheepskin just came back and took the kid?
Mm.
Sheepskin said no, like, and why would you? You live there, right? Why would you do something like that? But who knows?
Right.
So now we'll get into the theories. So what happened that night? So this is a big one. I don't believe it. When I heard it, I don't believe it, and I still don't believe it. And the idea here is that Tamara never existed. So the idea here is that Tamara has a twin, Tanis.
Okay.
And that Tamara was just an excuse to make more money, get more money, from the government to help with childcare. That's the idea. It's also that one of the reasons this has some weight to it is because there's no pictures of Tamara and Tanis.
Oh.
I'm sure there were pictures, but all of Lorena's photos were tossed out. So the only photo we really have of Tamara is that of the wanted poster. But again, they're twins.
So that could have been, oh my God. Okay, that is, I didn't expect that. That was a twist.
Yeah, twist.
That was a twist, Kenton.
They were also born on a reservation, which might not have had proper birth records.
Okay.
Or might not have been carried to the city. But the thing that kind of ends that is that there are some records of Tamara existing when she went to the hospital or medical records or that kind of thing. So there's records of both, but not photos of both.
Mm-hmm. So there's records of both, but not necessarily both at the same time kind of thing. Okay.
Now, there's also, like, when this massive manhunt for her was going on, I think MacArthur and Tanis, the sister, went to a store just to buy some food. I think it was, like, a confectionery gas station store or something, right? But because she was seen, the twin, like, a big report went out that she's been spotted at this gas station.
With this man.
Yeah, right?
Oh, that was... Okay, so if, which it most likely is, like, if they both did exist, that is That's so bad to lose one twin but still have the other one and everyone's like reporting that they've seen her. You almost have to hide the one twin so there's no reports at all.
Yes. That's also why you haven't seen any age enhancements of Tamara because she looks just like Tanis. So then everyone's going to see her again whenever Tanis goes anywhere. Because Tanis would also be about 20 years old or whatever now.
Right.
Older. So again, they get all these false flags of her walking around when she's not her.
That blows.
Yeah. You can't even do like a wanted on a milk carton because again, she's around, right?
She might be buying the milk.
Right. Yeah. So that makes it tough. A lot of false leads because if someone looks just like her out there. So that's the theory that maybe she didn't exist.
Mm.
But I don't give that any merit. It's just a theory.
Right.
So a couple others. So the next theory involves a place I'm willing to struggle with this name.
Okay.
Called Muskau Peyton.
Oh, Muskapeyton.
Muskapeyton?
Been there.
Okay, great. That same night that Tamara went missing, a man named Walter William Obey stole a Volkswagen van and took it out to this Muskapeyton and burned it. Now, this information was passed on to the police by a jail guard who went with him out there. They were in a relationship. The jail guard said that in his Volkswagen was Tamara's body. and that he took her out there and burned the body and burned the car, burned the Volkswagen, right? And that was what happened. That's where she is. So the police went out there, they searched the beaver dams, they searched the river, searched everything to find this body, because it wasn't in the van that they found it, and they found nothing. Later, this jail guard said that it was a lie.
Well, yeah, because you wouldn't put a body in a vehicle, burn it, and then pull the body out of the vehicle after you burn it. This is too much work.
Unless they buried the body and then burned the vehicle.
Right.
But yeah, it is a lot of work, right? So she later admitted it was a lie. But the reason she lied was because she wanted this man to go to jail because apparently he was abusive. Or stay in jail, I suppose. I'm not sure exactly the situation behind their relationship. And that kind of says, well, that's over, right? Like, obviously, none of that happened. It doesn't make sense. But then, 10 years later, 2014, and this was just a couple years ago. Eight.
A couple.
Time flies.
Times four.
Yeah. A Reddit user posted on Reddit about a map of Muscopitung, and shows some of the wells. And it says that the police would check the wells for Tamara's body. Do you remember when this happened? It was a big thing. So, like, because Reddit was still kind of new, right? In 2014, I guess not that new, but people weren't as it is now.
Yeah.
So all the police went out there to check these wells, and they found nothing. But what's the chance that the same place where a body was apparently taken in 2004, the same place they said there was a body buried in 2014? It's not really a theory, but it's an interesting connection. That they never found the body the first time, and they went the second time, they never found the body. But two people have said that there's a body out there.
Right.
But it could also be, you know, that the information was leaked, that the police were going out there, and the body was moved. Or the body was moved years prior.
That'd be so hard to move a body out of a well.
I bet.
Wouldn't even... I would say the person might just say, screw it. Because some of those wells are just ungodly deep.
I was at my girlfriend's farm this past summer, and they tore down the old barn.
Yeah.
And they found, like, the water tank, whatever, under the barn. And that's crazy how it's like the opening is like a couple feet wide, a couple feet long. And then there's a giant cavern underneath the barn.
Yeah.
You could put a body down there, no one would know.
Oh, yeah.
And no one could get to it because it's like surrounded by like 8 feet of concrete. Yeah, crazy. The next theory is that she was kidnapped. This is kind of the obvious theory, right?
Right.
Someone took her, right? That's kidnapping in a nutshell. There is a connection because in Estevan, 4 days after she was seen, another girl was kidnapped. And this girl was 13 years old. There's not a lot of children kidnappings that occur in Saskatchewan, especially within like a few days of each other.
Yeah, it sounds like a one guy operation.
Yeah.
Just grabbing peeps.
So they have said that this girl who went missing, Courtney Struble, she's dead. They have kind of just said that she's gone, but they never found the body. So if the two are connected, then they're probably together. But then that expands your search from Regina all the way down to Estevan to even beyond.
Yeah. Or it's just a coincidence and there's two psychos.
It happens, you know?
Yeah.
They say kidnappings is usually someone in the family, right? So, you know, it could be two psychos, it could be one psycho, but yeah, it would be someone connected to both of them if it's someone in the family, which doesn't always mean it's the case. So it's tricky. So the next one, and Lorena has talked about this woman before, and I don't think they've actually investigated into her, was a woman named Big Auntie. So Big Auntie is a friend of the family who often come by and sleep over and spend time with them. And they have her name, that was what they called her, but her name is different on her medical records. So obviously the police have looked into who Big Auntie is. Big Auntie used to come by all the time, and then she stopped coming by around the same time Tamara disappeared. And she hasn't come by since. So there's a bit of a theory, like, is that connected? Did they disappear together? Did she take Tamara? Or did she just stop coming by? You know, the house is dysfunctional as it is. Maybe she doesn't want to see it anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. That happens. Friends drift apart, too. I haven't seen our friend Ryan in years.
Yeah,
years. Since that time we ate scorpions together.
That's been years?
2020? So, you know, it happens. People drift apart.
Yeah, that's true.
Hope I get to see Ryan again, though. So the next one is that that she's just lost. So the idea here is that she wandered out of the house around 5 o'clock in the morning, or whenever the sun came up, or was coming up. And someone either abducted her, or she just went somewhere, crawled in, because she was a small girl, and got stuck and died.
Oh.
That she just maybe wandered off and something happened to her.
Right. And so this was middle of summer.
Yeah.
Because it's extremely way more believable if it's winter.
Right, yeah. In the winter, it happens all the time. In the summer, not so much.
Right.
So that one's like, I'm like, I don't really go with that one. The last one, well, I guess two last ones. The idea is that she was killed. And this is kind of like the unofficial story the police are going with. After she disappeared, they checked all the garbages in the area, right? And then they went and checked the dump to see if maybe her body is in the dump somewhere. That's often what happens, right? And they couldn't find her. The idea is that she's there. They just couldn't find her because of all the garbage.
Right.
So that she's murdered. That's where she is. And she's somewhere in the dump.
Imagine how many bodies are actually in there.
Have you ever been out there? Probably, right?
Yeah, like to drop off shingles.
Yeah, shingles.
Yeah.
Okay.
What?
Yeah, it's a big place. And they've moved it a few bit because the pile is getting so high. So, yeah, I could see that. And the last one is the one that a lot of people go with. And it's that Lorena sold her. The idea here is that Lorena owed a lot of money.
Okay.
And that she went out with her friend the night before drinking to kind of get herself ready to sell off her daughter.
Oh.
So she sold her off to an addict or someone to pay off the debts for the drugs that she had. That's kind of the top theory people have, is that Lorena sold her daughter.
Oh my God.
That's kind of where we are. It's been...
almost 20 years.
Yeah, right? 18 years?
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you think happened to her? Tamara Keepness.
Well, the thing that points out to me the most is the fact that the door was not locked, but when the mom came back, the door was locked. So what I would say is either somebody who knew that no one was there, like the guy who got his face smashed in,
mm-hmm.
or yeah. some creepy pedophile neighbor who was watching the house,
yeah.
knew they weren't going to be there, yeah. went in, took her because she was on the couch, apparently.
Yeah.
That could have been the case that girl was on the couch, got taken, and then the other kids moved there after.
Yeah.
And they locked the door behind them, and that's not like like we said before, it's unlikely that every single house that is a prime suspect was checked.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that seems to be the easiest explanation, the quickest and easiest explanation. That's what I would probably go with. That's horrible, though.
That's honestly the only other thing. That's the only option.
Yeah.
That someone came in the house and took her. Because you have that gap when no one is there. Well, Sheepskin and MacArthur left and Lorena hasn't come home yet. The door is unlocked.
Right.
One person, although he is not the best witness, says he saw her.
Right.
And then the next witness says the couch is empty.
Right.
The only part of that story that doesn't quite make sense is that the brother said that he felt her get out of bed.
Mm.
But there's a room of six kids.
Right, and you're asleep. Like, it could have been. In a half days. Like, yeah. You know how many times I've woken up? I pictured Tequila taking a shit on the top of my dresser, and there's no way she could get up there. But I literally woke up screaming, "Stop it!" And then she's just laying in bed beside me, like looking like, "Dude, what is wrong with you?" The mind, especially when you're half dazed.
Yep. Yes.
I could totally see, like, "Oh, I heard her get up."
And a room full of kids.
Right.
Someone could have got up. Right. And to me, that is, I think, is a mistaken identity or mistaken thought. Because if one adult saw her down there, how could she be upstairs?
Right.
And then not, like, it just doesn't make sense to me.
Right.
I do think someone in the house and took her. I think it was MacArthur, although I don't know why. Because
he's
missing 2.5 hours.
Right.
In those 2.5 hours, anything could have happened, right?
Could have, I don't know, maybe he was angry and he was already in a rage from beating the crap out of the one guy that he took it out on her.
Maybe he wanted to, like, get them out of that house. Get them away from him. I don't know. But I'm thinking, because let's say I was him, and I was going to go back to the house and get them. Why would I take one of my two daughters? Why would I take both twins, you know?
I almost wish it's the fact that there's only one.
Yeah.
Like, that's, like, the best case scenario.
That no one's gone. No one's missing. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And, like, did they gain anything from it? Not really.
No.
So, whatever. I almost just want to pretend that's what it is, so I don't have to have the thought of a horrible story like this in my head.
That is, unfortunately, the happiest ending.
It didn't happen. Yeah.
I think whatever happened, she was killed, and her body's probably in the dump. I think the idea is that she was a big auntie. That didn't happen. The idea she's connected to the person in Estevan. That didn't happen. That she wandered away. That didn't happen. That she was sold off. Although Lorena doesn't seem to be the best mother, I can't see her doing that. And she's expressed a lot of remorse for losing her child. So I can't see that being the case. And it would take so much for a mother to sell off their own daughter. And I just can't see that being the case. Especially, like, if I was to sell off my children, would I pick a very smart, pretty 9-year-old girl, or would I pick like some ratty 4-year-old child that I have? I wouldn't pick one that has a promising future.
Maybe it's just my fact that I don't like look into this stuff or anything like that. It just doesn't seem like it could happen. I know it does happen in the world, but it just doesn't seem like it could happen near you.
I think she was killed and her body's in the dump. That's what I'm thinking happened. You can take the happy ending if you want.
Yeah, I'm just going to pretend like they are scammers.
Okay.
That way no one died.
If you have any information about Tamara Keenan's and her disappearance, please contact local authorities and Crime Watchers. And there's actually a $50,000 reward out there for anything to find her, for her finding her. Well, I stumbled over that, but you know the $50,000, that's the...
That's the part he didn't stumble over.
That's the hook.
That ain't no joke.
That's the hook. So this one is still a sad episode, but it wasn't like the last one.
Yeah, no, it's not. But it kind of is more sad.
Yes.
Because it's more likely that it happened rather than the other one, which is like we were both kind of like tossed up. Like this could have just been a whole Mandela effect.
Yes. Yeah. This one, there was a crime. That one, there was a crime, but a long time ago.
Right.
And a lot of... misconceptions about stuff. Yeah.
Right.
So we've done a couple now about Saskatchewan. I was thinking next episode we'll go to a different province.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm not sure where, though. I'll think about it.
We've
done Ontario. We've done Quebec. We've done Saskatchewan. BC.
What about something like in the ocean?
Like Maritimes?
Yeah.
We'll do it. But we won't do the treasure one.
I don't even know about it. So.
Like the secret treasure cove one. Because that one's... Everyone talks about that one. We're not doing that one. We'll do a different Maritime one.
But now I want to know about the treasure, Kenton.
Okay.
And it'll be for my birthday.
Right, all right. All right.
And I love pirates.
Okay, we'll do it for your birthday.
Oh, my God, yes.
Okay.
I love how you're just like, I really don't want to do that. And I was like, but Kenton.
It's just everyone talks about it. But all right.
For a reason.
All right, all right. We'll
Is there it. Pirates?
Yeah.
Okay. True crime with pirates.
All right, we're going to do it.
Yes.
So if you enjoyed this podcast, you can follow us on Twitter, on Instagram, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, all over the place. My name is Kenton DeYoung. I'm sitting here with Dylan Fairman, and this is Unsolved Canadian Mysteries.